My dearly beloved in Christ, reading this gospel of the raising from the dead of the son of the widow of Nain, one of three such raisings from the dead performed by our Lord that are recounted in the gospels, I was reminded of the fact that at one time, at least it seems to me, at one time encountering a funeral procession was a fairly common thing. In the Gospels, our Lord approaches the town as this funeral procession is on its way out of the town to the cemetery. And that is where our Lord performs the miracle. And a funeral procession is a good thing. We must not be annoyed. You have to wait. You know, the cars come along and you might want to be on your way. You're driving a different direction, or there's the intersection is blocked temporarily. But it's a good thing because it is a reminder of death. And as I said, it seems like there just aren't that many funeral processions anymore. Sometimes I know in certain, you know, non-Catholic religions, the custom is there's a graveside service and people either don't go, maybe just immediate family, or those who do go, they're just there at a prearranged time, and the remains are brought to the cemetery ahead of time. And of course, also nowadays, sadly, cremation has become a very common practice. So there's no longer this sense of burying the body to the cemetery. I had a funeral a few years ago in Boston, at which there was not only a squad car leading the funeral, there were three policemen on motorcycles, the front, middle, and the end of the funeral train, which was about 40 cars long, and they had this coordinated, and they would rotate. One would go ahead to the first intersection, stop all the traffic, and wait till everyone came through, and then he would go to the end of the procession. Another motorcycle will go up and take his place and go on ahead to the next intersection, and so forth. I had two funerals this past summer in Montana, and with both of them, we had the cars going to the cemetery, but there was no police escort. So the point is, it seems like this practice, which used to be very common, has somewhat fallen into disuse. And of course, with our cemeteries, both here at the City of Mary and at Mount St. Michael, we have the cemetery right there on the grounds. So we don't have this need to go out into the city through the traffic and so forth. But a funeral procession is a good opportunity to call to mind death. And that is a good thought, because death is a reality. We shall all one day die. And if therefore we're going to die one day, we ought to prepare for it. Not like a gentleman whose story is told as follows. A courtier who had spent little or no time during life in thinking about death, finding himself upon his deathbed, requested that the following epitaph be written over his grave. Here lies the fool who went out of the world without knowing why he came into it. So we know why we came into the world, and we know what death is all about, that is preparation, that is rather the entrance into eternity, and that the state of our soul at the moment of death determines our place in eternity. And thus we ought to prepare every day for our death. There was a monastery of monks who had the custom on greeting one another of saying, "Memento mori." Now, we say something when we greet fellow parishioners, friends, etc. Hello, good morning. Hopefully a more spiritual greeting. Praised be Jesus Christ. Praised be Jesus and Mary. But imagine this. These monks greeted one another, memento mori, which means remember death. And that's how they greeted one another when they passed one another in the hallways of the monastery or whatever. Remember death. Memento mori. And many saints took that as their motto. We know that many saints would meditate upon death every day. And some people would say, well, that's just a very morose type of thought, very morbid thought. And they would say, well, no, it's reality. And we ought to prepare for death. rather than the fool who didn't. Here's another little story, interesting story about another fool. A certain nobleman kept a fool for his entertainment. One day he gave the fool a staff with the words, "Keep it until you have found a fool greater than yourself." The jester kept the staff, making some witty remark. Years passed, and the nobleman fell ill. "I am going away," said the master. "But will you come back, sire?" said the fool. "No." "Where will you go?" inquired the jester. "To another world." "But, sire, I see no provisions for your journey." "I have made none," replied the master. "Dear master," exclaimed the fool, "take this staff, for I have never heard of such folly as this." The advice touched the heart of the dying man. Learning wisdom from a fool, he sent for a priest and prepared to leave this world. One of the sayings of St. Thomas More was this: "There is one single fact which one may oppose to all the wit and argument of infidelity, namely, that no man ever repented of being a Catholic on his deathbed." And isn't it interesting that you hear of individuals of other religions or no religion wanting to see a Catholic priest on their deathbed? But I've never heard of a story of a Catholic begging those around his deathbed to go and find a minister of a non-Catholic religion so he could convert from the Catholic religion to a different religion at death. You'll never hear that. That says something. One more story here. Father Bertrand Wilberforce, the saintly Dominican, was asked in his last illness by a friend, "Are you not afraid to die, Father?" "Afraid to die?" exclaimed the dying priest. "Do you think that I am such a fool as to be afraid of what I have been getting ready for all my life?" Indeed, that is how we should be, that we are aware of the fact that we are always preparing for death, how by the way in which we live. Every day, we are preparing for death. So let us prepare well. Let us think of death. Let us think of eternity. I think of the Fatima children to whom Our Lady appeared. Lucia, Francisco, Jacinta were just little children, 7, 8, 10 years old. But of these three children, Francisco, the boy, was unable to hear what Our Lady said. And after the apparitions, he would ask Lucia, "What did she say?" And Lucia would go through and recount the words of our Blessed Mother. And we wonder, well, why was that? Why was Francisco not permitted to hear, although he could see the vision? And perhaps the answer lies in something else Our Lady said. When Lucia said, "Will you take us to heaven?" Our Lady said, "Jacinta, I will take soon. Francisco also, but he must say many rosaries first." And that Lucia would have to remain on this earth longer. And we think, well, an 8-year-old boy could go to heaven, but he would have to say many rosaries first? What could he have been guilty of? And in fact, when he was dying and the priest was coming, he called his cousin Lucia and his sister Jacinta to his bedside and said, "Help me to remember anything that I should confess." And Lucia said, "Well, once some of the boys of our village threw stones at boys from another village, and you threw some too." And he said, "Yes, I know. I already confessed that, but I'll say it again." And then they mentioned maybe one or two other little things. So you think of here, this little boy, so innocent, and yet he had to say many rosaries first. Well, the good ending to that story is that he not only said many rosaries, he would spend hours in prayer. He became something of a mystic in the short, I think, year and a half left of his life after the apparitions. Lucia would go to the parish school because Our Lady said that she was to learn how to read and write. Francisco would go with her, but he'd go into church while she was in the classroom and just adore our Lord, be lost in prayer for hours. So he certainly was well prepared for eternity. But we ought to think of that. If he had to say many rosaries first, who among us can say, yes, I'm ready? Let us prepare well with the time that God gives us for eternity so that we will receive a favorable sentence. St. Paul in today's epistle says these words at the close of the epistle that we should take to heart. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good. Let us do good to all men, etc. While we have time, let us use it to the good of our soul. Remember death. The Old Testament says, remember thy last end and thou shalt never sin. Memento mori. Let us think about it. Whether we see a funeral procession, we go by a cemetery, or even hear on the news that someone died in an accident or whatever, or we hear from our friends and relatives that a relative of ours has passed away, let us say to ourselves, for him, for her today, tomorrow for me. And how well am I prepared to leave this world and enter into eternity? Let us prepare well with the time that God now gives us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.